Said never a preacher. I'm really gonna try and not keep you long, but I'm telling you, there the message of today, the message of the cross, the message of what Jesus did. I mean, this is the most exciting weekend known to the church. It's a weekend that literally brings us hope and a future, church. Amen. Father, this morning we just set aside these next few moments, God, for Your glory and for Your honor. Lord, we are Your family. Lord, we have come together today. Some of us are here today. We haven't been inside Your church for a while, but God, Your Spirit has drawn Your people together one more time today. God, to hear the word of hope, to hear a message, God, that I can take out of this place and say, hey, if it worked for them, it might just work for me. And Lord, that You would give us a hope that we can hang on to, Lord, that will carry us through the dark times, that Lord will give us something to hang on to, oh God, in the times that come, that are times of trials, times of utter failure, God. Lord, nobody in this place has blown it, has failed as miserably as many times as this preacher has. But God, I stand here today by faith, in grace, hoping and believing that because of what happened from Friday to Sunday, God, I have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank You for it and give You glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Listen, church, it's Resurrection Sunday. It is. Listen, I've been to Israel. I've been to the garden tomb. I've looked inside and He is not there. Amen. When you get in your Word, when you look in the Bible and you begin to read about the events that took place and what happened, the Bible says that when the disciples went in to the tomb, that they found the grave clothes wadded up in a heap at the end of the tomb where Jesus was at. But the napkin, the covering for His face was neatly folded up and placed where His head had been. Let me tell you the significance of that. The significance of that is, in the culture of that day, what happened was, if they were completely done with whatever they were doing, they would wad up or fold or just mess up and it would just be thrown, the napkin would just be thrown there on the plate. But if they were maybe got up to go to the bathroom or whatever, and they was planning on coming back, what they would do is they would fold that thing up nice and neatly and lay it there, and then those servers would know that they're coming back. And I believe with all of my heart, church, that's why Jesus just folded that thing up, made it look so nice, because He was sending a message. I'm coming back. I am coming back. Hallelujah. Listen, there's a lot that can be said about this day, but I have a hard time even knowing what to say on this day, but I guess it can all be boiled down to this. On Friday, they crucified Him. But from Friday night till Sunday morning, He was in the pits of hell raising Cain with the devil. I'm telling you, the Bible said He took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Death don't have no power no more. That's good vernacular. It might not get you an A in English class, but that's good vernacular. Amen. I'm telling you, He was on a mission of top priority. He was defeating death, hell, and the grave. And if you remember all that He went through on Friday, it was horrifying. He was beaten to a pulp, and He was made to carry His own cross up Golgotha's hill. And He was weakened by the beating that He received. He was unable to carry His own cross, so a man named Simon was compelled to carry it for Him. Let me tell you something, church. They didn't just say, listen, if you're not doing anything, we'd like for you to just help the Lord Jesus with His cross. That ain't what they said. They probably stuck a sword right up under here. Get out here. Or we'll cut your head off. right here. They had the authority to compel anyone they wanted from the crowd to do whatever they wanted. He was weak. He fell under the weight of the cross. I can't wait till that building on the wall is completed. Amen. Because on this morning, when that building's created and it's done, like the building we had in Utah, there will be a hole in the floor, probably right about here. Maybe right over here, I don't know. And we will have a cross. And this pulpit won't be on the platform. And we will lash someone to the cross. And we'll tie them on that. And I'll have two great big burly guys pick that cross up, put it in this hole, and just tip it over. And when it lines itself up, it will just chunk down. I know because we did this in Utah. And they just hang there. It's hard to keep from crying in those moments. When you begin to visually see what Christ went through to redeem you and I. Weakened, unable to carry his own cross, Simon's compelled. In fact, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, this is what it says. And when he had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Can I just tell you something? That this, this crucifixion, to crucify somebody, it was the most horrific way to die. I mean, these Roman executioners or whatever you want to call it, they had studied, they had put time and effort into figuring out how they could inflict the most pain and at the same time keep the victim alive as long as possible while inflicting the maximum amount of pain that they could. Matthew and Mark both reveal that the criminals on the cross, one on each side of Jesus, reviled him. They ridiculed him. They hurled insults. The reality is, they joined with all the other mockers and they hurled insults at Jesus. Where they crucified him there on Golgotha was a kind of a busy place and a lot of stuff was going on. And so he was literally hung there for everybody to see. And when they went by, they hurled insults. People that didn't even know what was going on would go by and hurl insults. These thieves on the cross were no different. They joined in with the rest of them. Listen to what Luke says. In Luke chapter 29, starting in verse 39, and if you would, you could stand to your feet while we read this passage of Scripture with me. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he says to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Father, I pray, God, that you would add to this reading of your word, Lord, the blessing on your people to receive what you have for us to hear today and to take out of this place in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Listen, this man was about to die. This man was about to die. And yet he turns to Christ and says, listen, remember me. Remember when I said we emphasize all and we need to just break it down and make it simple? This is what he did. He said, remember me when you go enter your kingdom. That's as simple as it was. He turns to Christ, and Christ accepted him. Amen. Church, it shows that our deeds don't save us. How many times have we struggled over the fact that we've blown it? We haven't done enough good things. We haven't done the right thing. We haven't done this. We haven't done that. So therefore, I'm probably not saved. Listen, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You're not saved based on what you do. You're saved based on what He did at the cross. And here's something else. Our deeds don't save us. Our faith in Christ is what saves us. Amen. And here's another little something for you. It is never too late. As long as you're sucking air, it ain't too late. Even in His mercy, or in His misery rather, Jesus had mercy on this criminal. And Matthew and Mark both indicate that this criminal was with the other criminal and all the other people mocking and ridiculing Jesus. And yet, before he gets off of there, before he's dead, he turns and he says, Jesus, remember me. So even in his misery, Jesus has mercy on this criminal who decided in his last moments to believe in Him. Listen, my advice to you today, if I'm handing out advice, don't wait for that moment.
Amen.
Don't wait for that moment. Well, listen, if I can get saved any time, I'll just go ahead and live like hell. Was I not supposed to say that? We just go on, live like ever we want, and I'm as guilty as the next guy. I've done it for sure. Don't wait. Choose today whom you're going to serve. Listen, I heard a preacher tell us a story of this scenario. And I want to share it with you this morning. I know I can't do it quite like this guy did, but I think I can communicate this enough to get the point across to you. The truth is, probably some of you in here have already heard this, but you hadn't heard it like I am going to say it. Shocker. If you were to die tonight and gain entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that question in the first person, you've immediately gone wrong. Because I believe, because I have faith, that's in the first person. You're wrong already. You're wrong. The only proper answer, folks, is found in the third person. And in the third person, it's because He, because Jesus, because of what He did. The only reason I'm here is because of Him, not because of me. It's only because of His grace and His mercy and His love for me that I'm here. In the third person.
Amen.
Now, think about the thief on the cross. That guy was a mess. Amen? He is a man in a mess. But the truth is, I can't wait to find that fellow one day because I want to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing this guy. You and your friend, you're cussing him. You're reviling him. You're mocking him. All this kind of stuff with your friend. Listen, you've never even been in a Bible study. You have never been baptized. You don't know a thing about church membership. And yet, you made it. You made it. You're here. You made it. How did you make it? I mean, that's what Peter's probably asking him at the gate. Peter, you know, Peter can't keep his mouth shut for love nor money. He just cannot. And Peter's probably freaking out. How in the world did you make it? What are you doing here? To which the thief probably said, I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Well, excuse me a minute. I got to go get my supervisor. Supervisor shows up. Supervisor says, well, listen, I got just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I ain't never heard about that my whole life. I ain't never heard nothing like that. Well, what about? We probably should just go straight to the scriptures immediately. The guy's staring at him like a mule staring at a new gate. Because he don't know why he's there either. He don't know how he even got there. And eventually in frustration, Peter turns to him and the supervisor turns to him and says, listen, on what basis are you here? The man looks at him. And he said, because the guy on the middle cross said I could come. Amen. The guy on the middle cross said I could come. Folks, that's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. You don't have to go get baptized. You don't have to be in church membership. You don't have to have your name on some roster other than the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to be, you know, all this stuff. You don't have to be baptized and blah, blah. The man on the middle cross said I could come. Period. The man on the middle cross. Church, that's the only answer. That's the only answer. I don't know what that conversation is going to be like when I get there, but I hope it can go at least a little bit like that. Because, buddy, if they let me pass the gate, Mike, if they just let me pass the gate, think about that, church. We'll probably be standing side by side going, how'd that happen? You going to be with us, Ray? Glory to God. The only answer, church, is did the man on the middle cross say you could come? Because, church, if he said you could come, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop. You believe that? That's all there is to it. I can't add anything else to this message. The man in the middle said I could come. It don't matter who says you can't come. It don't matter who says you've been too bad. You've been this, you've been the other thing. The man on the middle cross said I could come. Bow your heads with me. Father, I know I've been very brief this morning, and that was by design. Because God, when it really just comes down to it, on Friday you were dead. They threw you in a tomb. They rolled the biggest stone that they could find over the stone. They placed a guard on watch. Two of them, in fact, to make sure that you didn't get stole out of there in the middle of the night. But yet, when the angel showed up and rolled the stone away, you were not there. You were gone. The tomb is empty. The Bible says that today you're seated at the right hand of the Father. You are our advocate. You are interceding for us, your people. Today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. The reality is, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. All you have to do is like the thief on the cross. All you have to do literally is say, remember me. Remember me. The Bible goes on to say that if you would confess me being Jesus, before men, I will confess you before my Father. But he goes on to say, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. As scary as it might seem or feel this morning, if you're in this place and you sense the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, there's butterflies or buzzards flying around inside of you, and you know that something is different, and today you recognize you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'll slip your hand up, I'll pray for you. Anybody at all this morning say, preacher, that's me. I need to submit my life to Jesus. I need the Lord to do something in my life. Anybody at all? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Father God, this morning, I've literally said all that you've asked me to say. And Father, this morning, I pray, God, that you would visit your people. God, for those that have raised their hand, if they want to get up and come and stand right here, we will pray with them. Lord, we will believe for them and with them. God, that you would do something in their lives that they would never forget. A bookmark, a line in the sand, a notch on the belt, whatever the case may be. Something of a reminder that says, hey, I remember that on Resurrection Sunday, Pastor said all I had to do was ask the Lord to remember me, and He would. And by standing here in the front of this congregation this morning, I confess, without ever saying a word, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Father, I pray, God, right now, for